Chapter 5. The Creature. I must face the truth. Feel the blow. Suffer the pain, Bismarck wailed as he paced amidst the tall grass. Bismarck was still agitated as he rose from his bed in time to see the first evening star. After the encounter with those four irksome creatures, he had slept terribly. You do not look like a bat, insisted Tobin. The pangolin tumbled out from the hollow eucalyptus where he had slept. He felt terrible. He had not meant to offend the small sugar glider the previous evening, not at all, but Bismarck ignored the pangolin and turned instead to the fox. Don, I beg of you, the truth, I must have it! Dramatically, the sugar glider fell to his knees, clasping his fingers as if in prayer. Bismarck, Don sighed, you do not look like a bat. Really? Do you mean it? Bismarck glanced up at the fox, his eyes full of hope. Goodness no, Tobin quickly chimed in. Not at all. Don, can you gaze upon my face without the image of a blood-sucking rodent entering your mind? Bismarck, enough, said the fox. You are very handsome, and you do not look like a bat. Of course I don't, he exclaimed, bounding back to his feet. Do you see the sheen of this fur, the elegant curve of this tail, the strong line of this jaw? A bat? Impossible. The little sugar glider rushed to the fox, threw his arms around her shins, and buried his face in her fur. Oh, my beloved, he cried. I thank you. I thank you for your honesty and your clear vision. Bismarck gave a deep, grateful bow. Tobin smiled. But then, as Cora emerged from the eucalyptus, his forehead creased with concern. The wombat, sweaty, sleepy, and shaky, had clearly suffered fitful dreams. Maybe we should get going soon, offered the pangolin. Yes, Don agreed. She walked over to the bats, who were just waking as well. Make sure to have a drink before we set out. It might be a long march. Good thinking, Fox, said the bat. The old gullet was getting a bit parched, agreed another. Swore. Tobin and Cora also leaned over the bank and took a few sips of river water, but Bismarck turned toward the fox. Did you know, he began, that sugar gliders need less water than bats. We can survive on just a few raindrops a day. Beaming with pride, Bismarck reclined against a small rock and plucked a leaf from a fern. True fact, he continued, licking a droplet of dew from the plant. That, mi amor, is just one of the many ways the sugar glider outshines the bat, though I am happy to share all the others. He cleared his throat, stood, and mounted the rock. Shall we begin with where it begins, he said. Birth. Bismarck raised a stick in the air in preparation for his lecture. But before he could speak, the midnight sky rang with a sudden, loud scream. Eee! Snap! Boom! The forest shook, branches broke, and something heavy fell with a thud. Mon Dieu! Cried Bismarck, crouching behind his stone. Oh, goodness! Tobin gulped. What was that? That was the same noise I heard last night when Joe disappeared, Cora piped up. Ice four. That's the one, the bats confirmed. Quick, the fox commanded. Follow me. Don bolted upstream toward the sound. Cora, Bismarck, and Tobin quickly followed, running full speed. The bats scrambled to bring up the rear. Suddenly, the wombat called out, Stop! The group came to a halt. Here, Cora breathed. It was here, I remember, because of those rocks. Don, Tobin, and the wombat inspected the jagged formation jutting into the river. Bismarck glided close behind. I detect traces of a struggle, Don remarked. Wombat hairs, nail scratches in the moss. Thankfully, there are no signs that someone was eaten. Cora sighed with relief. But it's strange, Don continued. There's no trail leading to or away from here. It's as if Joe simply disappeared. Don and Cora circled the rocks, searching for clues. Bismarck followed Don purely for the sake of it, and the bats poked around in the riverbank. Tobin lingered back near the tree line. His keen ears detected a twig snapping in the bushes behind them. With the others distracted, the pangolin decided to investigate the sound himself. Cautiously, Tobin peered into the dense tangle of leaves. At first, he couldn't make out much of anything besides dark branches and shadows. But then he caught a glimpse of two small points of light. He squinted, trying to see a little more clearly. Were those berries catching the moonlight? Perhaps drops of dew? As suddenly as the light appeared, they winked out. Tobin leaned in closer, tilting his head to the side, hoping to see them again. There they were, but this time they were larger, closer. Two deep brown rings with dark dots at the centers. Eyes! Someone was watching them.